engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello there, welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. Delighted to have you with me. I gotta say something here before I take phone calls, and I do want to spend time this hour with your phone calls, but I gotta talk first. I want to reiterate something that I said after the debate. I said it in the first hour. Need to say it again. And my goodness, the left does not like it, but it's true. Joe Biden is the father of two drug addicts. He abandoned his young sons after their mother was killed, so that Joe Biden could go play senator in Washington, D.C. Joe Biden's favorite son died. His surviving son became a crack addict and turned his dead son's wife into one. This is not a functional family. Even Barack Obama referred to the inner workings of the Biden family dynamic as weird poop, I'll say, instead of the S word that he said. Joe Biden's wife likes the trappings of office and likes to be referred to as doctor, even though she's a teacher. This is not a functional family capable of sitting dad dear down and saying it's time to retire. They want Joe Biden in Washington. Jill Biden does not want to deal with Hunter Biden's problems without her husband, and I guarantee you she's convinced if Joe Biden gives up the White House, he's just going home to die, and she doesn't want to deal with Hunter and Ashley by herself. Hunter wants his dad to remain in office because of the money that Hunter Biden makes with his dad in office. Joe Biden's brother wants Joe Biden to remain in office, given the connections that that gives Joe Biden's brother. This is not a family that's capable of telling Joe Biden it's time to go to pasture because the family benefits by having Joe Biden where he is. So good luck, Democrats. That may make Democrats mad at me for saying, but you all know it's true. Every single one of you knows it's true. And then the replacement, Kamala Harris is the natural fit. Why? Because Kamala Harris is the only one who can inherit Joe Biden's money. And she can only inherit Joe Biden's money, really, once Joe Biden's nomination is secure by this virtual roll call vote. There's no way Joe Biden gets out before becoming the official nominee, because otherwise there's chaos. It's no guarantee it would be Kamala Harris. And you've got 1,400 black women in the Democratic Party saying it is either Joe or Kamala. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. You will not pick anybody else. And Kamala Harris is a terrible candidate. Kamala Harris could not make it to Iowa. The meltdown of the Kamala Harris campaign was remarkable. In the postmortem in the New York Times, they said the Kamala Harris campaign was more interested in winning the day-to-day on Twitter than the actual campaign. She never made it to Iowa. She's not a good candidate. If you will recall, Kamala Harris has been through staff time and time again. She's had massive staff turnover. When she gave names, her campaign, her staff gave names to the New York Times of people who would say nice things about her in their profile of Kamala Harris, the New York Times had to report that none of those people actually had nice things to say about Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is not beloved. She's not well-liked. And she's not good on the campaign trail. Kamala Harris was the border czar, and the border's overrun. Everything Joe Biden has put Kamala Harris in charge of, she's failed to take care of. The attacks write themselves. But the Democrats really don't have other options. Their other option is an open convention, and that would lead to chaos. In Chicago, where a bunch of progressives are already saying it must be Joe Biden, and a bunch of black Democrats are saying it must be Joe Biden, and if not him, it has to be Kamala Harris. If Joe Biden really wants to get out of the race, he needs to get the nomination and then withdraw so that Kamala Harris can inherit his hundreds of millions of dollars in the campaign war chest. Now, I get calls like this all the time. Well, the Democrats don't care about the law. You may think that, but you know who cares about the law? The Republican appointees on the U.S. Supreme Court, who would force them to follow the law, whether they want to or not. So you can say the Democrats don't care about the law. They'll find a way around it. But find a way around Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, and Sam Alito. Try to find a way around them. And frankly, around Elena Kagan, too. Good luck with that. The Democrats decided they could cover up Joe Biden's problems and get him through the election. But as I said 2 years ago on this program, 2 years ago, you cannot keep the incumbent president of the United States in the basement like you can the candidate Joe Biden in 2020. You can't do it. He's got to be exposed. That's just the reality of the situation. You cannot do it. And the result is chaos for the Democrats. The Republicans are united and the Republicans are excited. And the Democrats in absolute and utter disarray. For the first time in a long time, I mean, to put this in perspective for all of you, this is the first time since 2004, 20 years ago. This is the first time that the Democratic Party has not led the summer polling in a presidential election. This is the first time. They have known nothing but victory except 2016, and they didn't handle that well because the polling showed Hillary Clinton winning, and she won the popular vote. But even with 2016, where Trump won, Trump was not winning the opinion polling in the summer. You have to go back to George W. Bush against John Kerry to see Republicans doing this well. All Democrats have ever known is winning presidential campaigns, but for the anomaly of Trump, and they handled that one terribly because he lost the popular vote and still won. This time, they're on the verge of losing the popular vote too. They don't know what to do. They're panicked. They want to win. They crave power. They're willing to abandon principle. They're willing to abandon the old man they decided they should nominate because they don't want to lose. Democrats believe any loss is unfair. Remember, for all of the talk about Republicans saying 2020 was stolen, the Democrats believe it's stolen every time they lose. It's one reason Republicans were so insistent 2020 was stolen, because it was payback. Because it's what the Democrats do every time. They did it with Stacey Abrams. They did it with Hillary Clinton. They even did it with John Kerry in 2004. Remember, it was the Ohio electronic voting machines and Ken Blackwell, then the Secretary of State, that did it. They did it in 2000 with Al Gore. Democrats, there's an entire 20 years. This is the first time in 20 years the Democrats have not led the summer polling. There's an entire generation of Democratic activists who know nothing but being ahead in the polls. And they're not handling losing well. And if Donald Trump wins in November, whether he wins the popular vote or not, but particularly if he wins the popular vote too, you will see rioting and destruction that actually does make the post-George Floyd protest look fiery but mostly peaceful. They will not handle loss well. And frankly, it's every incentive to, one, buy ammo, and two, support Donald Trump for November. Force the Democrats to accept what it means to lose and lose big. Force them to. They need to know. They must know it. They need to taste loss like that. An unmistakable loss, a loss of the popular vote and the Electoral College. They need it. It'll build their character. Also, the country needs it because God help us if the Democrats stay in charge for much longer. Now, let me go on and take a phone call. Christian in Dayton, Ohio, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, boss. How are you guys doing?
Great. How's Ohio today?
Oh, we got some beautiful weather. It's only like 77 out. No,
I got a disconnection. Do you know how hot it is right? Okay, it's not even hot where I am today, but it's like walking into a bathtub. It's so humid today.
I feel sad for you. I do. I just got back from a 10-day trip from Arizona, and it was humid. It was 30-some-odd percent humidity, 111 every day.
Oh, wow.
My family was dying. They're like, they're calling me a liar. Christian, you said it was a dry heat. I was like, it normally is. But
well, you know, so is the oven, but at that temperature, it's still hot.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. Like, it still cooks the turkey, Christian.
Yep, yep. All right, so you didn't call about that, though. What's going on?
No, I was going to call about the ATM situation, but before I do, you reminded me of a show, Joe Biden, and the way you were speaking about it reminded me. Have you ever seen a movie called Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story?
I know what you're talking about, but I've never seen it.
Oh, it's great, and Joe Biden is exactly his father. Wrong kid died. He says it throughout the whole movie. The whole movie, and that's exactly how Joe Biden feels about his son, Hunter.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right.
But, I was calling about the mess we have here because of the Windows 10 thing. I work for probably the world's largest ATM company, and it's our responsibility to service these ATMs when they go down and go bad. 90% of the time, my job is to pull money out that was in somebody's pocket, wadded up, and it jammed up our machine. But today, we got woken up, our phones were going crazy, and they're putting us all on notice that for the next 3 days, we're going to be stomped. Because these ATMs all run on that, and we have to go through and literally repower, shut them off, reboot them up, every single one of them.
So now listen, let's just you and me here. Let's just pretend there aren't a couple million people listening to us. So with this whole Windows problem, is there like any way I can like bang on the keys and have that movie scene where all the money spits out?
Yeah, unfortunately, no. We have several people try to get these ATMs, and they're bolted into the ground deeper than, you know, stoplight poles. There's no getting these things up or nothing.
I'm not surprised. And it's wild, though, that this many things are affected by a computer patch update, and it's just another reason I like Macs instead of Windows.
Yeah, I mean, good thing my company itself, we're not being affected as far as, like, our systems go. But what our workload, we're being told that they're working on maybe trying to do a hot fix on it to where we don't have to go and reboot them all. But so far, it's, 2 p.m. here, and we haven't gotten the word yet. So more than likely, we're going to have a rough next few days.
Good grief. Well, listen, Christian, thank you very much for calling. God bless you out there. My gosh, what a nightmare. I got to imagine the CrowdStrike's insurance program or insurance company is not having a normal one today either, as they assess the insurance liability for what they may have to pay out on CrowdStrike's behalf. But the financial, the liability for CrowdStrike, holy cow, I do not envy that company today. And you know, Microsoft is largely unaffected because Microsoft's like, hey, we had our problem overnight, Microsoft 360. We fixed it. This was not our problem, not our fault. Oh, yeah. Moral of the story is get a Mac or an iPhone, Charlie.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Hang on. Is that right? Yeah, cooking.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It's an Open Line Friday here on the Eric Erickson Show, and you can call in 877-973-7425. Did you know that's 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K? All right, Bob, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Eric. How are you today?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Well, it's Friday, and it hasn't rained on me yet.
But there you go.
I was calling because I found that I am really enjoying the issue that the Democrats are having. They are the prime example of being a victim of your own DEI policy.
You're not wrong. And you know, Bob, what's so funny about that is that they are furiously pushing back on that, the audacity yep. that anyone would call Kamala Harris a DEI pig. But Joe Biden himself said when he was considering vice presidents that he wanted someone who was not white and female. I mean, this Joe yes. Biden himself said that.
Yes. So what comes around goes around. You know, I just laugh about it every time. And I don't think they even realize it, that they themselves are their own victims.
I don't think they do. Look, you know, so I put on Twitter what I said a minute ago that, I mean, he's the father of two drug addicts and his loved his dead son most and the living son turned the dead son's wife to crack and his wife doesn't want to give up the power. And people are like, you call yourself a Christian. How dare you say that? But it's true. They simply cannot handle the truth about Joe Biden. They cannot handle the truth about Kamala Harris. They are in complete meltdown over it. But, y'all, this is the absolute God's honest truth, whether you want to believe it or not. Kamala Harris was picked, in Joe Biden's own words, because she was a black female. That's why. You can say it was a play for a part of the base. You can say it's DEI. She was picked because of the color of her skin and her gender. It's true, his own words. And whether you think I'm a terrible person for saying it or not, it's true. It is absolutely true that Joe Biden's family is weird. Weird poop, to paraphrase Barack Obama. That's how he called it. Joe Biden is not in a normal family that can tell him, Dad, dear, sweetheart, you need to step back. They're institutionally, they're not capable of doing that. You may not like me saying that. You may think it's mean and nasty for me saying it, but you know it's true. What I find is the people who angrily react the most to that are the people who deep down know it's the truth. They just can't bring themselves to acknowledge. They're not going to acknowledge it. But this is why the man, after that debate and the cover-up and the expose of the cover and the exposure of the cover-up, won't walk away. He can't. They won't let him. They need him there. Now, Americans for Prosperity needs you. They're the nation's largest and leading grassroots army on the right. They teach conservative activists to advance the conservative causes that you care about, from free markets to free people to school choice to business reform and deregulation. There's a big pitch at the RNC for deregulation and the cost of small businesses for regulation and the cost of building and housing for regulation. AFP advances it across the country. Go to AmericansForProsperity.org today, AmericansForProsperity.org. You can go to AFP. You can join them, learn how to be a conservative activist, learn how to advance your beliefs with your members of Congress, learn how to pick up the phone and talk about your core values. It's AmericansForProsperity.org, AmericansForProsperity.org. Sign up with them. Learn how to be a great conservative grassroots activist. Learn about the issues. Learn about the principles. Learn about the pending regulations and legislation that you can stand up and fight. AmericansForProsperity.org.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, listener Tom just sent me this picture from outside of a Home Depot. It's one of the pickup slots there where you pull in, they bring your stuff out and has a sign. Due to worldwide Microsoft outage, curbside is currently down. Please call this number or come to the service desk. That's not going well for them. This is in the Jacksonville, Florida area, judging by the area code and the palm tree in the parking lot as well. Fun times. Fun times for the Microsoft and the CrowdStrike crew. If you can't get money out of an ATM today, that's why. All right. It's Eric Erickson. It's Open Line Friday. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Alan, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. I just had a comment regarding the numbskulls that are talking about the teleprompter, a piece of shard of the teleprompter hitting Trump.
Yes.
If the teleprompters are in front of him, and granted they're a little to the either side of the podium, but he turned to the right just prior to being hit,
mm-hmm.
A shard wouldn't have hit him in the right ear. It would have hit him in the left side of his face.
Correct. Correct.
So it's impossible.
Well, is it impossible, but we have the post-shooting pictures and all the teleprompters are intact.
Right. But, I mean, it just doesn't even make sense.
Oh, yeah. No, it absolutely doesn't. These people are just trying to avoid having to grapple with the fact that Donald Trump was shot, because then they might have to connect their own rhetoric to it. To a larger point there, Corey Comprator's wife said she doesn't blame Joe Biden for her husband's death. She didn't blame the Democrats. It was the shooter. It was the shooter's fault. And it's true. It was the shooter's fault. He's responsible. But the Democrats are the ones who say that rhetoric matters and words matter and all of that. And with that being the case, the Democrats would have to think about their words. Not that they will. They don't care. They're upset the bullet missed. It's just remarkable. By the way, I don't know how far down the rabbit hole we should go with this, but I am going to play you this audio. The fact that they were willing to say this in a newscast on MSNBC.
NBC News is now learning from two people familiar with the discussions that members of President Biden's family have talked about what an exit from this campaign might look like. But those conversations are happening as the Biden campaign insists he won't drop out.
He won't drop out. All right, back to the phones. Scott, you're going to be up next. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Good. How are you?
I just wanted to make a comment about some of the stuff that's going on today with the tech problems we're having, and how this is all connected with there only being a handful of tech companies that handle all this. And something that, according to what I've been reading about J.D. Vance, he has brought this issue up about the need to break up the monopolies of the tech companies so that they can't cause mayhem in such a wide span way, and to do something similar to what they did to Ma Bell years ago, break up the monopoly so there's free competition again.
Well, yeah, although I will say he's talking more about Google, for example, is more he's talking about the Microsoft, which was already went through antitrust. He is really concerned about Google, as am I, because it's very notable when you put in the same sorts of search phrasing on Google about Joe Biden and Donald Trump, you get massively different results. I don't think, though, that this particular outage had anything to do with that. I mean, just given the liability, I can't even, like, fathom the insurance that is going to have to be paid out. And is CrowdStrike and Microsoft going to go fight with each other? I got a text from a friend of mine earlier who says he knows someone who's connected to CrowdStrike and that they're being far more favorable and kind and absolving to Microsoft than probably they should be. I don't know the tech details there, but I know when you take out globally computers in every major industry, you're going to have a whole lot of liability. It's going to be a lot of liability to deal with there. A lot of costs. Okay. I got to put this on your radar. This I kind of find pretty funny. This is from Politico. How Lord of the Rings shaped J.D. Vance's politics. Perhaps Vance's most millennial trait is just how geeky he is about Lord of the Rings. The trilogy of novels has been a longstanding nerd favorite for decades, but it became the center of culture during Vance's high school years thanks to Peter Jackson's movies. Vance himself has pointed to Tolkien's high fantasy epics as a window into understanding his word. in an archived episode of the Defunct Grounded podcast from 2021 that no longer shows up in podcast feeds, Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, who sat next to Vance in Trump's friends and family box at the convention, asked Vance to name his favorite author. "I would have to say Tolkien," Vance said. "I'm a big Lord of the Rings guy. And I think, not realizing it at the time, but a lot of my conservative worldview was influenced by Tolkien growing up. Big fan of C.S. Lewis. Really sort of like that era of English writers. I think they were really interesting. They were grappling, in part because of World War II, with just very big problems. In the books, the future of civilization rests on the search and eventual destruction of the One Ring. While Frodo and Gollum jostle over the singular ring, true fans know there are a total of 20 rings of power. Vance is apparently among them, those ranks, as the venture capital firm he founded in 2019 is named Narya, named after one of the other rings that Gandalf wears. Vance's mentor, Peter Thiel, similarly named his company Palantir after the crystal ball used by Saruman in Lord of the Rings. And Vance has invested in the defense startup Anduril, named after Aragorn's sword. By the time of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Narya has been entrusted to Gandalf to resist the corrupting influence of evil, preserve the world from decay, and give strength to its wielder, says Tolkien head John Shelton, who has not engaged in fantasy literature, is policy director for Advancing American Freedom, founded by Mike Pence. Gandalf, unlike the other great powers in Lord of the Rings, cared for the hobbits and other lowly people of Middle-earth, so it's unsurprising Vance would see himself as a kind of Gandalf, caring for the forgotten people of his hometown, keeping a watchful eye on them against the corrupting effects of the world. Okay. The fact that Politico needs to do a deep dive into Lord of the Rings, regardless of the popularity of the book, and did you know it's considered the most popular book series of the 20th century? Yeah. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings series and The Hobbit are considered the most popular book series of the 20th century. J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter comes in the 21st century. Lord of the Rings is extremely popular, not just among nerds, though nerds love it. The movies themselves were extremely popular box office hits that many normal Americans went to see. It's kind of telling that between the Politico and MSNBC, you get this retelling and re-narration of what the Lord of the Rings is and means that is deeply wrong and misleading, but writing not to normal people, but to the cloistered bubble of the intellectual left. And they don't like that J.D. Vance is a Tolkien guy, because at the end of the day, though Tolkien explicitly was not writing Christian metaphor the way C.S. Lewis was with the Chronicles of Narnia, it is essentially Christian at heart. It is very much so. I mean, there's an entire background of mythology, a creation story, a singular God of all creation, angels, archangels, people in a creation story and a mythos behind it, tied to the English people as well. And that Politico and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC get so much wrong in their coverage of it and their attempt to analyze and deconstruct J.D. Vance through a lens that they themselves have gotten wrong. It's like, you know, eons ago, before I was born, they would have those little decoder rings and you would get like Cracker Jack boxes and stuff and you could get prizes. And if you ever saw, what was it, The Christmas Story, the kid's got to get the decoder ring and stuff and he's got to decode he's got to decode whatever it is. And it turns out to be garbage and it's just worthless for him. But it's like the left is trying to use a decoder ring to figure out who J.D. Vance is, except they've got the code all wrong. So you can't really figure out who he is if you're on the left. You think you have because these are the sources you read. But just think about the polling I mentioned at the beginning of the show. A third of Democrats believe Donald Trump orchestrated his own shooting. They're all MSNBC viewers. A third of Democrats. They want to obsess about QAnon. Maybe they need to hold BlueAnon accountable. Dwayne, you're going to be up next. Welcome. How are you?
Pretty good. Hoping to help close the show on Friday on a little bit lighter note, I wanted to talk about my favorite part of the convention last night. So Kid Rock comes out onto the stage, and he's roaring, and he's booming, and the loud music and everything. Put your hands in the air, and he starts singing. And they start panning the crowd, and all these old people are sort of trying to keep up. And, honey, I can't put my hands above my head anymore, you know, and it was just funny. I thought it was kind of a kick. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I got to tell you, white people trying to dance at the RNC has always been one of the most historically embarrassing things in this country. In the Democratic convention as well, just old white people swept up, particularly by Kid Rock. I got to just say, I've never been a huge Kid Rock fan, but y'all, listen, it's probably too late in the day to start this fight. It probably is, but I'm going to start it anyway. Can we just stop with the God Bless the USA, please? Lee Greenwood, he needs to retire at this point. He can't deliver the song like he used to, and it's so overdone. I never cared for it's a perfectly fine song when you hear it a couple times, but to hear it as much as we've had to hear it this week, please, can we stop with God Bless the USA? God Bless America, sung by Kate Smith. I remember one of the Bush conventions, they closed her. No. I think it was the Romney convention, closed out with her. I liked the opera singer last night. The classical music was fantastic. I'm a huge, huge fan of classical music. The classical music for Melania Trump's entry into the convention hall was fantastic. The opera singer was fantastic. Can we just put God Bless the USA out to pasture, please? Do the national anthem. Do God Bless America. My country, tis of thee, if you need something patriotic. But I'm kind of over that one. I think it's time to move on. All right, Ron, you're going to be the last caller today. Welcome.
Okay, thanks. And I hope I don't bore the listeners with a repeat, but when I got in the car and started listening, the caller got on and said that you nailed it about your description of Trump's speech. And my curiosity is killing me. What did you say that nailed it? I'm interested. I have my opinion.
All right, Ron. I will.
I have my opinion about the speech, but I want to hear yours.
this is the terrible thing here is when something leaves my head during radio, I no longer have it. But I can guess what I said. I said that people tuned in for the first 25 minutes. They wanted to hear about the shooting, and then they tuned out. And so nobody normal cares that the speech went on for an hour and a half. It got long-winded and winding. It was kind of like he was making up the rally that he couldn't have on Saturday. It wasn't a bad speech. It was better when he was off teleprompter than on teleprompter, but it just went on too long.
Yeah, he missed my opinion. He missed an opportunity by going back to his old standard stump speech, and that wasn't the place for it. I like Trump, going to vote for him, no problem, none of that, best man for the job, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes he needs a little help with his delivery, and last night was one of them. But
yeah.
Anyway, it'll be gone. We'll forget about it next month and move on.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, I mean,
about your opinion.
Tomorrow, Joe Biden's going to say something stupid again, and people will be back on, is he going to drop out? Everybody will forget Trump's speech, except the beginning that everybody saw. Ron, thanks for the phone call. Everybody saw the beginning. Everybody wanted to hear his recounting of being shot, the honoring of Corey Compatori, and they got that, and that's what they wanted. Now, what you want is a better computer, and you can get that at Vision Computers. You can get their incredible award-winning tech support as well. All you got to do is call 404-COMPUTE. If you're not a Vision Computer owner, you can still call 404-COMPUTE and say, look, I need your tech support. It's award-winning. It's five-star, thousands of five-star reviews. You can sign up for Vision Computer's tech support for your existing computer. 15 seconds or less, you can get the answer. Faster than Google search, you call Vision, say, hey, I got this issue, not working on my computer, or I lost a file, it's somewhere, I don't know where it is, or I got email problems, or I got printer problems. They answer it. In many cases, they can even remote into your computer and fix stuff for you. All you have to do is call them at 404-COMPUTE. Now, if you want to build a computer with them, for your home or your office, you got an office and you need computers for everybody, Vision can take care of you. 404-COMPUTE, 404-COMPUTER, visioncomputers.com, 404-COMPUTER, visioncomputers.com. If you call them at 404-COMPUTE and tell them I sent you, you're going to get an even better deal.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. and check him out at ewerickson.com. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
So, it turns out that one of the only airlines that was completely unaffected by this massive tech outage that affected the whole world, except Southwest Airlines, because its computers still use Windows 3.1. Yes, its computers still use Windows 3.1. So it was unaffected. So there's a screenshot of a Southwest Airlines tweet. It's not real. It is made up, but it is funny. Well, 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 look who needs old Southwest Airlines now, because all of our systems run on a single Commodore 64 in a warehouse in Arlington. Go to, well, H-E double hockey sticks. Okay, listener Justin from Jacksonville emailed me, just so you guys have a sense of what's going on here. If you haven't encountered this, because I work for a healthcare company here in Jacksonville. I'm not sure how much information you have about this issue, but just wanted to let you know what's going on to us. Basically, 90% of our company works from home or remote, all on Windows computers that received the CrowdStrike update last night and are now stuck in blue screen of death loop. What complicates things even further for us is we use a piece of software unrelated to CrowdStrike to encrypt all of our hard drives. So we can't even get our users to log into their computer. We have to individually call and work with each user and walk them through booting into safe mode, bypassing the encryption, and deleting a specific file to fix the issue. We basically have all hands on deck with anybody who knows anything about tech helping out today with our limited IT staff. We have over 600 Windows users, and about 400 of them are confirmed to be basically bricked today. We can fix them, but it's going to take a long time. Holy moly. That gives you perspective on how this is happening. And it's just one bad patch. And it makes you wonder how well there was. Because, you know, typically you, when you do this sort of stuff, you test it on computers internally to make sure it's going to work. So there was clearly a significant breakdown. By the way, Vice President Kamala Harris, this is happening right now, will be speaking to Democratic donors at 3 p.m. at the request of President Biden's campaign team. Kamala Harris speaking to Democratic donors at 3 p.m. So in about 2 minutes from now, Kamala Harris is going to start making her pitch to Democratic donors. NBC News saying that the president's family is beginning to talk about his departure from the race. Joe Biden himself saying, I'm not going anywhere. You know what the Democrats should do? They should show up in Delaware, thank Joe Biden for two successful terms in office, and say, hey, do you want to give Kamala Harris's nominating speech Monday night at the convention? He'll never know the difference.